Well, if you'll find your places there in chapter 15, we'll look. I'm just going to begin reading in verse number 1. Verse number 1, and then I'll read through verse 8. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, this prophet would say to this king, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. In verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage, the word of God says, and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for letting us come together and just open the Bible and hear the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that indwells us and teaches us and leads us in worship. And God, I thank you for every person here, every young person, Lord, every adult. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you for our members. Lord, I just want to praise your holy name. Lord, would you help us tonight to grab a hold of this truth in the Word of God? Would you strengthen us, Lord, in this area of renewing our altar for Thee? Lord, we see a time of revival here. And Lord, I'm asking you to do the same thing even tonight, even in our hearts, in our midst. Lord, please meet with us in only a way that you can. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, we started off our year of 2017 with a theme. And does anybody here not know the theme of our calendar year? If you're a little unsure, you may be a visitor with us and you may not have heard, but it is behind us. And it is simply being renewed. That is something we have been asking God to do and strengthening us in our renewal, in our minds and our hearts. And something I haven't preached on a lot, I want to begin doing more so, especially as we get into Titus. But one of the things I want to speak upon tonight is the idea of being renewed. We need renewal, do we not? In fact, the Bible's clear when Paul says we need renewal day by day. There's no, I get renewed here and I'm good for a week, or I'm good for a month, or I'm good for several months. No, the Bible is clear. We need spiritual renewal every single day of our life. And we see here some renewal taking place in this Old Testament account of a king of Judah. Now, he was the third king of Judah, and he was a good king. He was one of the few, but he was one that was good and did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. In fact, if you look over, go back a chapter there, and you see where this king in verse 2, Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. What did he do? Well, The Bible says he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and break down the images, and he cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and do the law and the commandment. And also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. So he was doing what was right in the very beginning, and then just right after that, if we read that, there was a war. We see that beginning in verse 9. There was a war with the Ethiopians, and God gave them favor. God helped them. And listen to his cry of dependence, and you wonder why God used him. And this is exactly why. Look at verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. And then again, of course, the Lord smote the Ethiopians and helped them in that battle. But then we get to our text, and it's very interesting, in verse 15. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Now here, we have the instance of a prophet coming unto this king to bring a message. And by the way, aren't you thankful for God's messengers that are filled with God's Spirit to bring a message? I am so grateful for that. There are times in my life, and as a pastor, I'm not under preaching, direct preaching myself. I'm under my preaching. By the way, I tell people, the messages always hit me first before they come to this pulpit. And God deals with me on these things, and many times in my office, even in studying, I have to get down on my knees and say, God, I gotta repent right now before I go any further in this study. You have dealt with me, you have convicted me, and Lord, please help me to understand this truth that I may share it with the folks and the flock. But I'm thankful to be under sound preaching when I go to meetings and different things, and the prophet, the messenger of the Lord, gives the message that we so desperately need. Well, this is what's going on. But what's interesting about this guy is that the message is not coming to a heathen. The message is not coming to someone that necessarily is even backslidden. The message is coming to someone that is, for all practical reasons and appearances to the Word of God, he's walking with the Lord. He's walking with God. But there's a message for him, unless he forget. And what does he say? He says, listen, I want to tell you, listen, I know the Lord is with you while you be with him. Now listen, I don't know if you make it a habit of underlining your Bible, but if you do, this would be a good place. Look what it says here. The Lord is with you, and get this, while ye be with him. Now that's conditional, church. That's simply saying that, listen, the Lord is with you. You better believe he is. While you are with him. He's simply saying, listen, God is going to be with you in His power and His blessings as long as you are with Him. And it clarifies on down the line. It says here in our chapter, he says, now listen, if ye seek Him, He will be found of you, but if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Now, here there may be some things that come up in your mind and say, well, isn't this sort of contradictory, Pastor? I mean, I thought the Lord was always with us. I thought the Bible says in Hebrews that the Lord will never forsake us, never leave us. And you're right, the Word of God does say that. But always remember, Bible student, you know this, when you read the Word of God, you always have to make sure that you're reading it in context. You have to understand the meaning of that. When we read that in Hebrews, where it talks about the Lord will never forsake you, he's talking about as long as you are being content with Him. As long as you're not being covetousness, and as long as you're not being covetous and longing after those things you shouldn't, and you're being content with Him, of course He's never going to leave somebody that's desiring Him and content with Him and looking for Him. God will always give His fullness because we know He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. We know that. So you look in that context there, and then you say, well, wait a minute, isn't there something in the Bible called the Great Commission? Where Jesus says, now listen, lo, I am with you always. But listen, we got to look at the context, don't we? He said, lo, I am with you, but what did He say before that? He said, go. He said, go. And I heard old preachers say one time, don't expect the lo if there's no go. And that's exactly what He means. He's saying, go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And He says, and when you're doing that, I want to tell you something. I'm with you. My power's on you. My blessings are upon you. And I'm with you always. But listen, let us not deceive ourselves, dear friends, tonight. God would never forsake His children as being Father. Never confuse that. He will always be Father once you become a child. But that doesn't mean that the Lord will not leave you to yourself. And that, my friend, is what we see here. And this prophet is saying, Asa, listen, you stay close to God, because the moment you start pulling away, like that crowd up in the northern kingdom is doing over in Israel, where there never was a good king, and you do like that crowd like before you, Rehoboam, and even the second king, you start getting like that crowd where they are not honoring me, listen, I will pull away from you. I will forsake you. I will leave you where you are. I will leave you unto yourself. And you know what? It goes along with James, doesn't it? Our teens came back about that message that spoke to them. Brother Kenny Baldwin preached on a message about drawing nigh unto God. And He will draw nigh unto us. And that's the picture there that I see of our Almighty God. As we draw close, He's drawing close. And I'm talking about His power and His blessings, that sweet communion. But boy, we get away from God. Look, I believe God drifts away from us. But He leads us to ourselves. He's always, you take a step, He's coming forward too. Works just like that. You come to God, He's coming to you. You want to get close to God, He's going to get close to you. But He's not going to make you do that. And He will never abandon you as a child. No, don't get me wrong. Don't ever get that confused. Now I'm just talking about the blessings and power of God, okay? That's what I'm referring to now. Once a child, always a child. But I'm telling you, sometimes God, I do believe, lets His children go into themselves until they turn to Him. And that's exactly what happened here in the Word of God. Let's continue reading. It says, now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But get this. Ladies and gentlemen, in verse 4. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, praise God for that next part of that verse. He was found of them. And that is a proof to the Word of God of what I just said. They were in trouble. They had to drift away from God. God was over here. And they were having communion with God, but they got away from God. They got into their own things and started getting into idol worship and all of that mess. But then they got into some trouble. They got into some distress. And like I preached the other night, they cried unto the God of heaven and said, Lord God, we turn to You. And God was quick to draw unto them and to hear them and to help them. And that's what we see right here. Aren't you glad that the Lord is ready to restore us? He is ready to renew us at any point we are willing to turn back to Him. You know, the Lord knows how to get our attention. He knows how to get us to turn towards Him. But I've even noticed with my own children that I can get compliance on the outward. You ever notice that, parents? you can get some outward compliance. And I could even say, with a good attitude. Now I say, listen, you're not obeying because you're not obeying with a good attitude. And so then, now, and I still can see through this, so then this is what becomes, it starts off like this. Look up at me. You need a good attitude. You know what the good attitude becomes? I could see right through that. I'm like, that is not a good attitude. You are so hiding that. But you know, the point is, a lot of times we'll do that to God. God will convict us. God will draw us. And reluctantly, we'll sort of turn and, okay, all right, I'm in trouble. What now? You know, and we kind of got that reluctant attitude. And you know what? That's not what the Lord's talking about. The Lord's talking about when He convicts us and we're in trouble, we truly turn to Him and say, Dear God, I have realized my way is wrong and I want Your way. I want Your way. And that's what is going on here. They need God, and God shows up and He helps them. And then listen to what this prophet says. All chaos is going around them. Israel, there is no good king. It's just a big mess up there. Idolatry, like you wouldn't believe, going on all around them. But Judah here, there's a good king that's holding the ropes, if you will, and holding the good testimony. But still, this prophet comes to let him know and warns him to be careful. And this is what he says. This is the exhortation, picking up in verse number 7. Look there. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, that is an encouraging verse. To all you believers out there, I want you to know that is an encouraging verse, because what is the prophet saying there? He's saying, look, listen, I know all this wickedness is going on around you. I know you're facing some real battles. You're seeing it yourself. But be ye strong. Stay in the fight. Keep your focus on me. And then what does he say? Let not your hands be weak. Don't let them grow weary. Let the grip stay strong upon God Almighty. Keep a strong hold on the Lord God and your communion with Him. Keep the embrace strong and fervent to Almighty God. He says, don't let them be weak. And then he says, for your work shall be rewarded. As we see in Hebrews, we've looked at that verse before, and I was even thinking about our bus ministry starting up. And listen, I know there's going to be we're going to have to be strong. That is a unique ministry. The bus ministry is a very unique ministry. It's a lot of sowing a lot of times, and not much reaping. But a lot of times you do get to the point where you see more reaping. But it's building a foundation of letting those kids know that we love them and we're willing to go get them and help them. And that's what we'll continue to do. We will seek to build that reputation for the Lord God. And we're going to be strong. And we know that in due time we shall be rewarded. That goes back to our verse in Ecclesiastes, doesn't it? Cast thy what? Upon the waters. Thy bread, thy grain. Pass it upon the waters, and thou shalt what? Find it. After what? Many days. The Word of God gives us clear instruction that we are to do what God asked us to do. But then, where I want to just spend a little time tonight before we close is really in verse number 8. I see here, number 1, some repentance. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought this was a good king. He was. But you know, even when you think you're at your best and you're doing good, the Holy Spirit's still going to show you some stuff. That's why it's so important for us, church, to never, ever, 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 ever think that we have arrived. Because the Lord will show us some things that we can be working on. We are a work in progress. And this King Asa, he was doing things right. He had gotten rid of the idols. He had gotten rid of the high places. He had gotten rid of all the idolatry that was taking place. But the prophet put his finger on something. And look at the repentance of this king. It says here, first of all, he took courage. By the way, can I say this? It takes courage to repent. Repentance is not for sissies. I'm here to tell you. When repentance comes in true reality, I'm telling you what, it takes some courage to fess up and say, you know what? What I've been doing, God, is wrong, and what you are telling me is right, and that's the way I want. That takes some courage. But this man could have said, well, you know, look at all these other areas. Prophet, don't you see what I've been doing for God? Don't you see the good things I'm doing? I mean, come on, leave me alone. Why are you picking on me? That was the Brinson version there. I'm not sure it was worded just like that. But look what he says here. He said he took courage and he did what? He put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin. Well, wait a minute. I thought he had gotten rid of all of them. Evidently he didn't. And there were still a few that perhaps he was left alone, perhaps in a dark corner somewhere, that he was letting it be. He just said, well, I'll deal with it another time. Perhaps, I don't know what the situation was. But evidently, God put His finger on some other things. And what I want to ask you tonight, church, and what I've asked my own heart tonight, is this. Are there some dark places that we have some idols that we are not giving up? That we are not giving any attention to? That are taking the place and robbing us of the power and blessings of Almighty God. I want us to be very serious as we ask ourselves this. Because we do want the power of God on our families. We do want the power of God on our church. We do want His blessings. But I'm telling you right now, if we're going to want God's continual blessings upon us, we're going to have to do some renewing. And that brings me down to the next point. He says, he and out of the cities when she had taken from Mount Ephraim, and look what it is this, and renewed the altar of the Lord. That was before the porch of the Lord. Now this altar would be in reference to the burnt offering. The altar where you would give forth that burnt offering. And that burnt offering was the all-consuming, meaning giving full self to. As you would come in and the priest would give forth that, it would consume that in its entirety. And it was just a whole life entirety offering. And that's when the one that is obviously needing to be rebuilt. Now the question is, what happened? What happened to this altar? Was there a war? Did somebody get in there and do some vandalism? What happened? Well, Scripture's not clear. But I think there's a reason for that. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to use our sanctified imagination. Because evidently something had happened to this altar. It had gotten broken down and it needed to be renewed. It needed to be restored. And that's exactly what He's going to do. He's going to renew that altar. What about our altars? What about my personal altar? My heart. Have I given forth? Have I given the Lord my whole heart? My whole being? What about our homes? Does the Lord have our family altar? Does He have a hold of that? Or has that grown dilapidated? And has it just malfunctioned in some way? Has it gotten broken down? Has it gotten dark? Has it gotten rusty? Does there need to be some renewal? I tell you what, when I was in the military, one of the first things they taught us to do in boot camp was how to shine some shoes. And not only our shoes, but we also had a belt buckle that we would get shined up real good. And we ever used? Yeah, y'all know of any of that little can of stuff called No Dull? Anybody ever heard of No Dull? A couple of you in the military have heard of it. Well, it's this can, and I don't know what all they put in it. It stinks real bad. It smells like a permanent magic marker. And you pull it out, and it's kind of like a cotton material. But boy, that brass that you would have on your belt buckle, you would have to spend a lot of time constantly putting that No Dull on it and get it shined up real good. And then there was a little piece on the other end of the belt that had to be done too. And then you, of course, get a dry cloth and go on that. And you had to do that every day because when you were under inspection, well, that company commander, he'd get down there and investigate and see if he would see any prints or any kind of dullness. And it had to be renewed daily. That belt buckle had to be shined, and so it had that brilliance. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do with our altars. I do believe that we need to keep our altars brilliant and shining. You say, well, what are our altars? Here, it was a little different, wasn't it, Pastor? I mean, didn't they have a temple? And didn't they have where they had these altars where they brought actual animals on? Yes, I do agree to that. But you know where our altar is. You know. And if you're not sure, you could easily find it in Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. That's the altar that we have that God has given us. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so what we see here is an altar to be renewed, and that's what He's doing. He's getting it shined up again. He's renewing that thing. And so there was a repentance, and we see a renewal. And then we see a resolve. Look at verse 12 and 13. We see repentance, and then we see a renewal. But then look at there in verses 12 and 13. A serious resolve. Now get this. It says they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all of their heart and with all of their soul. Now, if you stop right there, you would just say, wow, man, what a resolve. Now, that is pretty strong, man. They made a decision. We know about those decisions. We make those. But this one, next verse, boy, it kind of brings it much more stronger. Look at that next verse with me. They made this resolve, and look at this. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel, my Bible reads the same way yours does, says, should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Now, would y'all say that's a pretty serious resolve? Boy, it is. I'll be honest with you. You can think of me as carnal, whatever. But I'm not making that resolve right there. Because I know my flesh, and I praise God, I know what dispensation I'm in. I'm in the dispensation of grace, and I'm not under the law. But these people were so serious about their commitment and covenant to the Lord, they were saying, listen, if you're not willing to put your life on the line and say, you know what, my God is going to have my all. I'm going to give Him all. And if you didn't sign that covenant, the Word of God says you were put to death. And you say, well, that is not our case. And just like I said, it's not. But you wait a minute. Wait a minute. It is in some ways. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? I do believe that there is death in some ways that takes place if we're not willing to make this covenant. And I believe it's called this. It's called the death of the power of God on your life. I believe if you're God's convicting every one of us to make this covenant, saying, Lord, we will seek You with our all, with our desire. We will seek You and make You everything. I believe that when we refuse to make that decision and sign the line, the covenant, if you will, if you sign, if we refuse to do that, I believe there is a death that takes place in the testimony of a Christian. His testimony for Christ, His power, His influence. And oh God, I don't want that to be me. I don't want that. I don't want to lose the power of God on my life. And I pray you don't either, church. I pray each of you will make a decision even tonight if it needs to be renewed. If your altar needs to be renewed in any way, you'll say, Lord, I want to renew this unto You. This resolve that, Lord God, I realize that I need to give all. You know, when I said earlier about I wouldn't make this because I know my flesh and I know I cannot keep the law perfectly. I know that. And neither can you. But I will say this. I will say this. You know, most of us have heard the missionary Jim Elliot. He died and serving God and reaching the unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a statement that he made one time was similar to this. In the sense he said this, he said, Lord, if I cannot be used, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, if I cannot be used to the fullest extent for your glory, he said, Lord, please take me home. He had come to that point in his life where he said, Lord, if I can't give you my all and seek to live a surrendered life unto you, and I don't think he was talking about sinless perfection. I think he was just talking about a living sacrifice, surrendered daily unto the Lord, renewed daily. He said, Lord, just take me home. And that was a rebuke to me, because I know that was a serious resolve that Jim Elliot had to the Lord. But we see repentance and we see a renewal, we see a resolve, but then fourthly, I want us to see this. I want us to see there's a rejoicing. After this resolve was made, look at verse 14 and 15. It says, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. I'm talking about a time of revival, a time of rejoicing. And verse 15 said, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. So we see here now is a great rejoicing. Because of this decision to renew the altar, this king had led them in such a way that, hey, he said, listen, folks, we got some more work to do. And I believe that's what I'm saying here tonight. I am saying with the Word of God, church, we got more work to do. We got more work to do on ourselves. Let the Lord work in our hearts and rip those idols out. Take them out. Get them out of here. Pray that God would do that. I don't want to be forsaken by God in the sense of His power and His blessings. And neither did these people, and neither did this good king of Judah, who said, oh my, he said, listen, we can't afford of losing the power of God on our lives. I guess I just need to ask this question, and this question goes for me too. Are we willing to live without the power of God and the blessings of God on our life? It's a good question to ask ourselves. Are we willing to do that? And if so, I believe the Lord would make His decision and step off the scene of His blessings and power. But quite the contrary, praise God, that when we come to Him and say, Lord, renew us. Renew us. Then we see the power. You know, I got this boat that I inherited from my dad. It's a... It's a 93 ebb tide. It's an 18 foot inboard, outboard pleasure craft, ski boat slash just hanging out with the family type boat. And he bought it in 95. It was a 93 model, but he bought it used in 95. It's been a really good boat, really good family boat. And it's got the 4.3 liter V6 in it with the four barrels and it used to do real well on pulling up skiers and tubing and kneeboarding. But over the past 3 or 4 years, I've started to notice something and it started losing power. And I couldn't figure it out. Got spark plugs changed and just changed out wires and changed out this and that, trying to figure out what it was, and still could not figure out what the problem was. And come to find out, it's getting worked on now. It's getting some work done to it. But what has happened is the carburetor has got gunked up with that gas or fuel that's been used in it for the past years. Perhaps that was not ethanol free. And boy, you know, ethanol free gas is bad for engines, especially if they're going to sit up for any time. And got to talking to my mechanic that usually does our work for our boats. And he said, I'll tell you something, Brinson. He said, one of the worst things for about anything to do, but especially something like your boat, he said, one of the worst things that you can do to this boat is to let it sit up and not use it. And that's what happened basically while we were in
in Africa. It sat up, maybe used a couple times while we were gone from family or whatnot, but it sat up, and as a result of that, caused problems with the carburetor and the fuel intake, and it hadn't had the power to get up and go. And so now, I, of course, have it at the mechanic and going to have some work done to the carburetor and get some things cleaned out and ready to go. And I'm trusting that it'll be ready to go in the next several weeks. I am. But that's what had to need to be done. There needed to be some renewal in that carburetor. There needs to be some cleaning and some restoration, and so that the power of God can, the power of God is an example of how that it flows through us. As we clean ourselves up and make a resolve, I believe the power of God flows. And just now, like that carburetor, boy, if it gets cleaned out, that gas is going to flow. It's going to flow so cleanly. And I'm looking forward to throwing some teenagers on some tubes across the lake. That's going to be so fun. When I can see them do that. But you know, that is what I heard that. That's what God wants us to do. Not throw us across the lake, but He wants us to be clean. And He wants us to be used of Him so that His power can flow through us. Restoring and renewing the altar. Can I say this in closing? Another quote by Jim Elliot. He says this, always seek peace between your heart and God. But in this world, always be careful to remain ever restless, never satisfied, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. I believe that's what the prophet was saying to this king. Listen, you're on the right track, brother. God's using you. The power of God is on you. You are obeying the Lord God. Here's some things that you need to do. You need to renew that altar. Renew it for the Lord daily. Get it to where it needs to be functioning with the power of God on your life. And He says, you always abound in the work of the Lord. Don't get distracted by these other crowds that are in full idolatry. Don't get distracted by that. You keep your eyes on what you're doing and keep your eyes on Me. And I believe that's exactly where we see revival. And I'm not going to go through with it, but he even had a family member that was in the mix. And we maybe can discuss that another time when we have more time. But he made a decision to choose the Lord in obedience to the Lord over giving honor to a certain family member. He was going to do us right, whatever the cost may be. And I am asking the Lord to help us tonight to be renewed in this 2017 and our altars. You know, can I say this? The altar of our hearts, presenting ourselves to the Lord daily. And I'm asking you families too to join me in continuing to renew our altars at home. Kneeling beside our children. Reading the Word of God and putting our arms around them and praying with them. Renewing our altars there to show our dependence upon the Most High God. That takes priority in our life. It is the Lord who takes priority. And then I think about the altars even here at church. Now, I look here and what do I see? I see carpeted steps. I see a table here for our offering, and that's what it is. And I also see what we call the altar. Why do we call this the altar? Well, I believe it is because it is a picture, if you will, of us giving ourselves to the Lord when He deals with us and when He's working in our life. And boy, I tell you what, I don't think there's anything necessarily spiritual about coming forward. And I'm not saying this to ask you to come forward tonight. I'm not. Don't get the wrong way. Because I am not a proponent of manipulating and manufacturing people to come forward. That is not me. That is not who I am. I feel like you come forward if you feel like God's leading you. But one thing I will exhort you to do is to always let your heart be open to the Lord to move you to this altar. And not to be ashamed. Can you get right just as much in that pew you're sitting in as this altar? Yes, you can. You sure can. But I will tell you this, coming forward, in a sense, at times, does give public testimony of God dealing with you and you seeking to get right. I believe, I'm thankful that for this church that has freedom and liberty to come spend time in prayer during the invitation as a response to God's Spirit working. It is a blessing. It's an encouragement to others. And can I encourage you, church? I'll just make a little family statement here. Something I would like to see, and again, I want you to be led by God's Spirit in this. I don't want it to be forced. But you think about this. If you see a brother and sister come forward, something I'd like for you to consider doing in the future as you pray and are led by God's Spirit, pray about coming forward and praying with them. Letting your support be for them. You may not know what they're dealing with, and you don't need to know. But you can just come alongside, put your arm around them, especially our ladies to our ladies and our men with our men, and put your arm around them and just pray with them. And ask God to help them and encourage them. Boy, I believe that's a renewal in the altar. We put emphasis on that. We put emphasis on God's Spirit working and us being obedient. This is not a clubhouse. We're not here to play church. We're here to let God change us and renew us. Amen? And I believe that's what happened here, church. As I see it in my Bible, I see there was a renewal of the altar. May God help us. Father, I do ask that You would help us to be renewed in our altars. Number one, our own hearts. Ourself. Presenting ourself a living sacrifice to You, Lord God. I know You dealt with me about this already, Father, and I thank You for that. Lord, I pray for our homes. I pray for our families here that need to be renewed. Perhaps some of the altars have grown dim. Perhaps there used to be a devotional corner in someone's house here in this room. Perhaps there was a prayer space. But now, it's been filled up with books or papers. That time has been filled with something else, perhaps internet, or busyness, or work, or fun. Lord, would You show us where we need to renew our altars, that we might have Your power and Your blessing, knowing that You will draw nigh to us as we draw nigh to You. Lord, thank You for Your Word tonight. I thank You for our church. And I do thank You for the renewing power of the Holy Ghost. Would You have Your will and way in the service tonight? In Jesus' precious name I pray.